Welcome to True Worldview, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical perspective. This is your place for intelligent conversation on ultimate questions and the relevant issues of our day. Here are your hosts, Christy Johnson and Dr. Paul Dean.
Welcome to True Worldview. Christy, guess where I had breakfast this morning?
Probably, knowing you, it might have been Bojangles.
Well, I certainly eat at Bojangles a lot. I do. But had breakfast at Chick-fil-A this morning. Had to meet a guy there, yeah, and that's where he wanted to go. I was happy to do that. I love Chick-fil-A. Oddly enough, that's what we're talking about today. That's why I mentioned breakfast. A lot of folk talking about Chick-fil-A. And we might have to temper some of our comments, but Matt Walsh is among those talking about Chick-fil-A, and he says this: they just caved to the rage mob, and they're about to learn the hard way that surrendering never pays off, and I think that's true. But quoting from the Daily Wire, Chick-fil-A, one of the last remaining large companies to stand in defiance of the PC police and the LGBT rage mob. Now, these are Matt Walsh's words. Has suddenly and inexplicably caved. Chick-fil-A president and chief operating officer Tim Tosopoulos. That's how I'm going to say that. I actually grew up, can I just give you a personal, my best friend growing up was Greek, and so I know how they pronounce their names. I mean, you just look at this and it looks like, you know, Tosopoulos, and maybe somebody says it that way, but going from my best friend in childhood, Tosopoulos is what I'm saying here. Anyhow.
That sounds right to me.
Yeah. Anyway, he announced that the company will no longer, and here's the crux of the matter, they will no longer donate to certain Christian charities that the PC crowd deems anti-LGBT. So if you go over to Biz Now, they explain it this way. After donating to more than 300 charitable organizations this year, Chick-fil-A will instead focus on three initiatives with one accompanying charity each: education, homelessness, and hunger. Now, again, we're going to talk about this, but back to Matt Walsh. He says, which charities will lose out now that Chick-fil-A has shifted focus to education, homelessness, and hunger? Well, the company confirms that it will be breaking ties with the Salvation Army, the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and the Paul Anderson Youth Home. In other words, it will stop donating to charities that help with education, homelessness, and hunger in order to focus more on education, homelessness, and hunger. How about that?
Now, that's a little bit disconcerting, because for so long, Chick-fil-A has kind of stood as a, I guess, a beacon of hope in the fact that they usually stand up for their beliefs and are not ashamed of having relationships with Christian organizations. And it's not disconcerting because we hate the LGBTQ plus community. Obviously, we love them as people and image bearers, but because they do have a militant agenda.
Yeah, I think it's important to point that out, because, you know, they say things like, if we don't, you know, support same-sex marriage, and I'm not talking about whether or not we would allow same-sex marriage in a civil society. Boy, and I just opened a can of worms there. I didn't mean to do that, but I got to explain that. Can I just do that for a moment?
Go for it.
We know that marriage is something that God has instituted. God created marriage. It's a picture of Christ pursuing his bride. It's a picture of the gospel, the whole bit. And so marriage is a man and a woman. It's a common grace, but so there's no such thing as same-sex marriage. But at the same time, lost people, or people who don't know the Lord, they're free in a civil society to, you know, to do this, that, or the other, as long as they're not, you know, harming others. I mean, that's what our country was built on: religious freedom and freedom of speech and freedom in general, though we don't have many of the freedoms that we should, which is another issue. But they'll call things like same-sex individuals living together, they'll call that marriage, even though it's not marriage. But if they want to call that marriage, that's fine. I mean, that's what they're going to do. And so at the same time, I'm for liberty for all. I don't care if they call themselves married. We know they're not. So, you know, I affirm their liberty, but I don't affirm their understanding of marriage. But those are other issues. Now, why did I go down that road? Well, I can't even remember, to be honest. But
They're redefining love, I guess.
Oh, yeah. That's it. They're saying that if we don't agree with their view of marriage, that we are out to harm them. In fact, I guess it was the leader of GLAAD who said in response to this whole Chick-fil-A thing, of course, they don't believe that Chick-fil-A is actually going to do what they say, but they said that there are certain organizations like Focus on the Family, for example, that exist solely to harm the LGBT community. And obviously that's not the case. Mm-hmm. It's not even an honest statement, because they might certainly Focus on the Family disagrees with same-sex unions, homosexuality. We do too. We say it's sin, but we're not out to harm, nor is Focus on the Family out to harm the LGBTQ plus community. But anyway, that's a side issue. I just think that what you said at the outset is exactly right, that we don't hate LGBTQ plus. And these, boy, we get so many letters. We don't hate anybody. We love people, but love demands that we tell them the truth, and we do that in love. Now, not all Christians do that in love, but right. Christians should do that in love. But it is accurate. You also said that the LGBT community has a militant agenda, and they do. They are so often violent, and they are vicious. And yes, there are some Christians who've been that way, or some people who call themselves Christians, but there are way more in the homosexual movement that are vicious and violent, and that's a problem. Anyway, redefining hate, redefining love. You said it yourself.
Yeah, they're saying that if we don't agree with them, or if we basically, if we are just pursuing our religious liberty by following Jesus and by believing what the Bible says about marriage, then we are hating the people who don't agree with us. So they're not only redefining love, but they are also redefining hate and really not respecting other people's religious freedom, even though that's what they're calling for themselves, is for freedom and tolerance. But it's kind of a double standard.
Yeah. And of course, if they really believed in freedom, they would allow Chick-fil-A to donate to who they wanted to. And, but they don't, you know, they've had all kinds of protests. You know that. I know that. It all started, what, about 7 years ago? I think it was back in 2012 when Truett Cathy's son, I forget his first name, but one of the, you know, Cathy is the CEO, and he came out and said, you know, he's a Christian, and he affirms the traditional definition of marriage. And since then, you know, the LGBT community's come against him, and they've stood and said, well, you know, this is what we believe, but they're still kind, and they'll serve anybody. It's, you know, they're not trying to hate on anyone. So anyway, I guess one of the things that we ought to say very quickly is that it's not really a Christian's goal to develop adversarial relationships with others. It's not Chick-fil-A's goal. It's not our goal. But again, I think what's happening here, it really is sad to me in a way, because it's not that they're trying to come against the LGBT community. It's they're trying to say, look, we believe what we believe. We still mm-hmm. serve you, even though you believe what you believe. But we're going to donate to organizations that are serving others that line up with our value system, and we're not going to donate to organizations that don't. That's what they've been mm-hmm. saying. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's not hate at all. That's honoring God.
Yeah, we don't want to unnecessarily offend people. And that's not what Chick-fil-A is doing by donating to these organizations. They're simply saying, like you mentioned, these are people that we want to give money to. And then the LGBTQ community says, well, you can't give money to them. So they're making up rules on how people should act. And even though we shouldn't unnecessarily offend people, I think at the same time, when a hostile culture does make demands, Christians shouldn't cave into those demands. I mean, Jesus wouldn't cave into demands. Jesus was always speaking the truth. And sometimes it was pretty blunt Other times, maybe he held back a little bit, but he wouldn't, you know, cave on his beliefs.
Yeah, that's right. I think of the woman at the well. I'm sorry, not the woman at the well, the woman who was caught in adultery. The Pharisees were trying to set her up, and Jesus essentially called them on their hypocrisy, and they left, and she's standing there by herself, and Jesus said, "Where are your accusers?" And, you know, she said, "Well, they're not here." And he said, "Neither do I condemn you," but he didn't leave it there. He wasn't affirming her adultery. He was saying, you know, they were wrong because they were trying to set you up, and they were involved. But he said to this woman, "Go and sin no more." So he didn't affirm a lifestyle of adultery. The other thing I want to throw in real quick here, and I don't know why, but just I've been reading and thinking about this issue for a couple of days now. You know, Chick-fil-A's come out now and tried to mitigate some of this. You know, they've said that they'll donate to, you know, organizations in the future that support LGBTQ. And I think that's part of the consternation that some Christians feel. At the same time, they've come out and tried to say, "Well, we're not a Christian business." Well, maybe that's true, but if you are Christians and you own this business, you know, you need to put your Christianity on display, or you need to be Christian in the way you conduct your business. And if you're not, well, then you're dishonoring the Lord. And so what they're trying to do is play both sides, I think, at this point, because then they came back and said, because of the backlash from some Christians, "Oh, well, this doesn't rule out the possibility that we'll give to Christian organizations in the future either." So anyway, I'm just throwing that in.
Let me throw something else out there, question for you. What is the difference between the LGBT community saying, "We don't want you to donate to these Christian organizations," and the Christian community saying, "We don't want you to donate to organizations that support LGBT groups"?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. I think the real issue that Christians ought to be focused on is not who Chick-fil-A donates to or who they don't. That's what sort of raised the discussion. I think the real issue here is that Chick-fil-A has publicly said, "We support traditional marriage. We donate to lots of charities." And they're Christian because the Cathy family is Christian. It's Dan Cathy. That's his name. He's True Cathy's son. And, we're Christian. And so the LGBT folk have tried to say that they're haters and boycott and, you know, do all kinds of things to make them bow to their will. And Chick-fil-A has said, "That's not who we are. We're not going to bow to your will." And all of a sudden, what they're doing now is bowing to their will. That's the problem for me. I'm not going to boycott Chick-fil-A. Like I said, I ate there this morning. But it's very disappointing to me that they're allowing the homosexual agenda crowd to push them into a decision that obviously Truett Cathy wouldn't make, and Dan Cathy certainly didn't want to make, but somehow they've made it. And that's the problem for me.
Right. So basically he was pushed into a corner and he said, "Okay, sure, I'll do what you want."
Yeah. And see, the problem there is we begin to think, well, the Christian thing to do is to cave into the demands of others or even buy into the definitions that others put on things. You know, we talked about this with critical race theory, and I really talked about it a few moments ago with how the homosexuals are defining marriage. We love homosexuals just like anyone else. They're sinners just like anyone else. They need Jesus just like anyone else. I'm a sinner just like anyone else. We understand all of that. But I'm not going to allow them to redefine marriage, even though I'm not going to say that we should have a law that says they can't call themselves married. I'm not going to say that they're married. They're not. And by the way, we'll have to do an entire broadcast on what I've been saying about gay marriage, because I don't even think the government should be involved in marriage at all. In fact, they shouldn't. It's not what I think. They just shouldn't, because the government has no business in God's business. God is the one who's defined marriage. And so we'll talk about that another time. That's where I am, where I'm That's where I am. Where I am on that, if that makes right. sense. But we believe in freedom, liberty. That's a Christian thing. We don't believe in force. We believe in a civil society. You can't murder someone, but you know, we think premarital sex is wrong. It's sin. But we're not going to make a law against premarital sex. So right. why should we make a law against a gay couple calling themselves married, even though we know they're not? So that's kind of where I'm coming from. But obviously that requires a lot more discussion. We don't have time today. Can I just shift gears for a minute?
Let's do it.
And I'll let you jump in on this, obviously. Because, you know, the LGBT protesters have been screaming at Chick-fil-A ever since Dan Cathy defended biblical marriage. They, again, as we've said, they say that that automatically makes them, you know, haters. And mm-hmm. and as they've said, they're out to harm, or like the Salvation Army or the Focus on the Family is out to harm the LGBT community. Well, that's the problem in our culture now, this culture of intersectionality and critical theory and critical race theory. They say that, you know, they're in the oppressed, you know, group, and you've got these oppressor groups like Chick-fil-A, the Salvation Army, et cetera. And I want to say, well, how is Chick-fil-A oppressing the LGBT community simply by believing that marriage is between a man and a woman, or donating to charities that help people?
Right. It sounds to me more like the LGBT community is oppressing Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, I think it's important. You said we don't respond as Christians by, you know, becoming adversaries or throwing metaphorical punches, but we don't bow down either. Part of what Chick-fil-A, in my mind, has been doing in the stand that they've taken is that they've been advocating for freedom for all, whether they realize it or not, and they've been advocating for freedom even for homosexuals and the LGBT, you know, folk, whatever we want to call them, and the LGBT folks don't even realize it, and it may be that Chick-fil-A doesn't even realize it because of this current move. It appears that somehow they've forgotten or they didn't realize, but they've been advocating for freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Think of this. Just last week, pop singer Ellie Goulding, she threatened to pull out of her halftime performance during the Dallas Cowboys Thanksgiving game, excuse me, because of the NFL's association with the Salvation Army. She ultimately, you know, relented on her threat. But here's Chick-fil-A doing what they're doing. But they have specifically said they're no longer going to support the Salvation Army. Do you realize that the Salvation Army helps like, it's something like, they've helped like 23 million people.
Mm-hmm.
And they serve more LGBT people than any other charitable organization in the world. And yet they're yeah. protesting the Salvation Army because they're Christian.
That's kind of crazy. It's because, I mean, when you think of the Salvation Army, I only think of good things. I think of a place for people to go and get help, and for where they're going to have people serving and helping others. And I don't think of their quote unquote agenda. I'm not sure that they have an agenda. I think their agenda is helping others and showing them love.
That's it. And they don't discriminate. They'll help you no matter who you are. And as they've said, they've helped more homosexuals than any other charitable organization in the world. Anyhow, it's spiritual blindness because of the political climate in which we live. And, you know, going back to allowing the world to define us, we really can't do that. The things happen, you know, when we allow others to define us. You know what I mean? I mean, think of them defining us as haters, like the Salvation Army. You just said the Salvation Army doesn't have any kind of agenda other than to help people.
Yeah, I mean, if you allow them to define you as a hater, then which maybe some, there are some people who call themselves Christians who are, I believe, haters, quote unquote. They hate the LGBT community, which true Christians do not hate. God says to love your neighbor, you know? But if we allow them to define us as haters, then all of a sudden we're going to think of ourselves as haters. And then that makes us not want to stand for truth. And it makes us embarrassed about our faith. I live in California, which is known as being a liberal state. And thankfully, I have not encountered that much. I guess I haven't encountered any oppression, really, because most of the people I hang out with are Christians. But sometimes I will be sitting in a coffee shop with my friends and we open up our Bibles and I'll feel a little bit embarrassed because I'm wondering, what do these people around here think about me? Whereas at a coffee shop in the South, I don't really feel embarrassed because I'm pretty sure that almost everybody in that coffee shop probably goes to church too.
Right, right.
But if we allow them to define us as haters, then we're going to, then we could back off or stand down or not stand for truth and feel embarrassed and not share the gospel, which is of utmost importance. People need the gospel.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think it's important for us to have these kinds of discussions, not only in-house, but even if some LGBT folk happen to hear our podcast, I hope they'll hear what we're saying. And at the same time, I've had opportunity to counsel and teach and share with or witness to a number of different homosexuals. And I can tell you, I have had nothing but love and compassion and gentleness and as I've tried to point them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've had some who have renounced their homosexuality, just like we renounce our sin when we come to Christ. They've come to Christ, but maybe they still struggle with temptation, but they've come to me to help them with their temptation. And we're talking about a biblical approach and the transforming power of the gospel. Anyway, just making that point, we want to be free to be bold in our witness, and we want to be free to love everyone. So we don't fall into a conservative agenda that they're, you know, haters may be part of that. We're in the Jesus agenda, if I could say it that way. I think the other issue, Christy, is that when we begin to cave on these issues, it's a slippery slope. Mm-hmm. And you can see that even in the evangelicalism today. You know, critical theory has taken over a lot of the seminaries. We even have three professors now at Southern Seminary, if I'm not mistaken, and more at Southeastern. These are Southern Baptists, for example, the bastion of Baptist conservatism. Professors who are committed to critical race theory. And what I'm saying is what Paul said, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. So if you cave, then ultimately you begin to embrace the sin. You know, now I just listened to a podcast last week, and we're going to talk about this on one of our podcasts. Three extremely knowledgeable and extremely conservative theologians from Dallas Theological Seminary, they're coming out now and saying things about transgenderism that you wouldn't believe. They're essentially, I don't want to say too much here. We're going to talk about it in depth, but essentially they're not fully biblical in their understanding of it. So anyway, I think we've got to say just a couple of more things before we wrap this thing up. You know, Matt Walsh points out that when the LGBT community initially boycotted Chick-fil-A in 2012, it gave rise to the Chick-fil-A Appreciation Day. I think Mike Huckabee was instrumental in that. But fans of the restaurant, you know, they waited in lines that wrapped around the block. And then, of course, the enthusiasm never died down. Chick-fil-A became more popular than ever, and they've been popular since then. Their sales have tripled. They're one of the top three restaurant chains in the country. And, of course, Matt Walsh thinks that what they've done now is more likely to alienate Chick-fil-A supporters than to appease the critics. And I think that's right, because some people are going to be alienated. I'm not. Like I said, I'm going to still eat there. But they're certainly not going to appease the LGBT community We've even got a statement out today from GLAAD and from other members of the LGBT community saying exactly what Matt Walsh predicted. They still don't like Chick-fil-A, and they don't believe Chick-fil-A is sincere, the whole bit. But I think that this is a massive sea change for Chick-fil-A, and I think it's a signal. This is a side issue, and this is just me, Christy. Tell me what you think about Chick-fil-A and their business model. I mean, have you thought about it? I have.
Yeah, I've thought about it a lot. They treat people with respect. They're always clean. They're always being nice and friendly, and their food is always good, and they always make things right when there's a problem. And it really flows from, I think, a business model of love for their customers.
That's right.
Which is a Christian worldview tenet.
Everything they do is rooted in a Christian worldview. Their efficiency, the way they get you in and out, the drive-thru, it's unbelievable. And the quality, I'm going to tell you, listen, I love McDonald's. I love Burger King. I'm just that kind of a guy. But I'm going to tell you something. There is no comparison between the experience at Chick-fil-A and then the experience at McDonald's. I mean, some of the folk at McDonald's are nice. You know, people are people. But there's a lot of folk at McDonald's that, man, they don't even speak to you when you go through the drive-thru. Anyway, I'm not mad about that. What I'm saying is what you just said, Chick-fil-A's different. And the reason they're different is because of their Christian values. That's what has made them great, whether you love chicken or not. And I'm here to tell you, if they continue down this path, they will not be the same organization 5, 10, 15, 20 years down the road that they are now. And that, to me, is another regrettable result of this move. It's going to affect them in ways that nobody's thought about right now if they're shifting their value system, I'll put it that way.
Yeah, that's true. Well, why don't we just close with something else Matt Walsh pointed out. He said, you cannot appease the mob. It doesn't matter if you give them what they want. It doesn't matter if you fall to your feet, confess your sins, and beg forgiveness, as Chick-fil-A is trying to do now. All your self-abdication will do is empower and encourage your critics. They will not forgive you. Not that Chick-fil-A needed forgiveness. This is an age of scalp claiming, not mercy. Now they will happily take yours, celebrate the victory, and move on to the next target. You aren't their friend now or their ally. You're just a trophy on their shelf. And that's just the point. We can't become trophies of Satan. We're trophies of grace. We're conquered by grace. And if we cave, as you mentioned, it's a slippery slope. Who knows what you're going to cave in next? And it just can be a downward spiral. And what we need to do as Christians is stand for the truth, not be harsh, but be loving and promote love and stand for what we believe and share the gospels with others. And we'll talk about something else next time on True Worldview.
You've been listening to True Worldview, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical perspective. To access archived broadcasts, go to trueworldview.net, where you'll find other helpful resources as well. Thanks for listening, and join us next time on True Worldview. And the gospel.